'Tis the season. No, not that season. The one where everybody takes vacations. Several of our members are away, having gone on a little journey, and notified us that they will not be here. I've heard from at least one of them that they were headed off to services. And I hope that where they attend, the truth is proclaimed and the message is well received. But I'm glad that you are here. There are many, many things that are going to be discussed in the next week or so relative to liberty, freedom, the birth date of our nation, and those kind of things. But we want to talk this morning about standing fast in the liberty Christ provides. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And we know as the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians brethren, the Galatian churches consisted of churches in the area of Galatia. There were multiple congregations, and therefore the epistle was delivered to them and shared among them. And therefore the words that the Spirit gave Paul to deliver to them applied to all of them. And they apply to us today because we are in Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, our text defines and provides us the theme that we want to examine this morning. And man has long looked for liberty in many areas and for many reasons. And always in every area, every society, every government, every situation, man looks for something whereby they might be liberated because they feel oftentimes to be in bondage. But the liberty we'll be discussing this morning is the most important that man can seek. Independence Day is less than a week away, and perhaps it's a good time to study passages that relate to this most important principle of liberty in Christ. Yes, about 250 years ago, our nation decided, you know what, we're not going to be under the tyrannical reign of Great Britain. We're going to rebel. We're going to do it in such a way to establish a nation. And for 250 years, we have celebrated that. But every Lord's Day and every single day, Christians should celebrate the liberty we have in Christ. As we begin this morning, we first need to point out that only Christ provides this freedom. All over the world, religions and religious people are meeting. All over this nation, religious people are gathered. And many of them have a false hope of having been liberated from sin. They're still in bondage to sin. But because of the improper teaching that they have had, because of the improper instruction that they continue to receive, they are not standing fast in the liberty which Christ provides. They're standing in denominational doctrine, hoping against hope that what they've been taught and what they hold to will see them through to eternity. It will, but it won't see them through to where they want to go. Our text mentions the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And there are many, many passages that indicate freedom from Christ, that comes from Christ. And that's the reason he came to earth. This was the reason he came and willingly allowed himself to be arrested, to be endure that trial, to be crucified upon Calvary's cross. To be buried, to be resurrected, to die no more, to ascend to heaven and to fulfill the will of God. If you will be so kind, turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. We see here Jesus reading Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 and 2 in the synagogue. And in so reading, and this is telling about a prophecy of him, he is reading a prophecy of himself. In reading this, he showed several reasons why he came. This includes providing for the liberty because this was a prophecy about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. All were captive, and he came to preach to them. While he was here, he also recovered the sight of the blind. But you can look at it from a spiritual standpoint also. When we are in bondage, our vision is impaired. We are told where to be and what to see. But when we are liberated in Christ, our sight is restored. We are illuminated by the word. And he closed off that reading to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is exactly what Christ did. He came and he declared the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom. He did so to the poor in spirit in Israel. A lot of times when we say poor, people think about those without money. He said in the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor in spirit. That's the ones who know that they need God, the ones who are going to seek him through Jesus Christ. But in his death, he purchased the church. He provided the means for freedom that every soul needs, for liberty. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, Jesus spoke of this, but few truly understand it. Christ did not say he would liberate and free everyone. He came so that everyone could be free. That's important. There's a great distinction there. No, only those who obey him, only those who do as God stated in his New Testament word. And Jesus said those words as were read in our scripture reading, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now notice, only to those who are obedient and do as God stated. It is not enough just to be obedient once. That does not cover all of your life. We're to continue in it. But Jesus provides freedom. And the scriptures provide for us the conditions. That's the if in this passage. Remember what Jesus said. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus gave guidelines for receiving the freedom he provides. We saw that. We see this in John chapter 8 verses 31 through 32. Freedom in Christ is not received simply because Christ died on the cross. And that is the false hope that many have. Jesus died for my sins on the cross. We hear it all the time. Jesus did not die for anyone's sins on the cross. John said of him, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's a difference there. He died so that we might have freedom. The liberty one can have in Christ is not simply because one believes either. Here he's talking to those which already believed in him. The passage reads, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And we're most familiar with verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, what Jesus did in dying on the cross was present the situation or provide the means by which we could be made free. And that word gives us the instruction as to how to access that freedom, that liberty in which we are to stand fast. One is not going to find the truth unless or until they get into the word, unless until they rightly divide it, to learn it, to follow it. Those who have a casual approach toward reading the Bible. Okay, I'm going to read so many chapters a day or a week or whatever the case, whatever your reading program is. And what have you done at the end of that period of time? You've read a whole lot of words, and how much of it did you absorb? Yes, you're going to gain something by it. I don't think a person can sit down and read the Word of God with a focus upon the Word of God and not gain something. But how much are we going to learn? How much are we going to understand? How much are we going to be able to have it so ingrained in our mind that it is automatically an application in our lives? That's the big difference. Because if we don't rightly divide it, we cannot learn it. And if we do not learn it, we will not follow it. And if we do not follow it, we will not be free. Upon doing as the word commands, a person can attain freedom. In other words, when we read and we hear and we learn and we are aware of the fact that God has conditions relative to alien salvation, and we realize that in ourselves we are weak, that we are sinful, and that we submit ourselves, yield ourselves to God, and then we obey the gospel, yes, we are free. But we got to stay free. Our country is free. But we have to maintain that freedom. Our souls, if we have obeyed the gospel, are free from sin when we obey the gospel, but we've got to maintain that freedom by staying in the Word, continually learning, continually growing, continuing to do it. We remain free. Since these guidelines relate to our spiritual freedom, let's identify this in the Lord's Word, the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 is one passage. It shows that there are two distinct laws of God. The first was put in place to bring about the second. That's the whole reason the book of Hebrews was written. The Judaizing teachers were trying to entice the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, to go back under the law of Moses. The second, the New Testament, provides the directives so that if obeyed and if continually followed, one can look for eternal inheritance. And notice I said if two times. If obeyed, in other words, you have to become before you can be, and that we must continue in it, then we can look for that eternal inheritance. And it cannot be taken from us. That's beauty. That is real freedom, isn't it? You know why it cannot be taken away from us? Because we won't let it. We will stand. We will fight for that freedom. There in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, and for this cause he, speaking of Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, sadly, many who are called by the gospel and have obeyed the gospel, in other words, have become Christians, have symptoms of being lost. You know what you do when you have symptoms? You start checking, right? You start saying, well, what do these symptoms mean? You know, if I have a throbbing in the side of my head, I'm not going to say, you know, I probably have something wrong with my foot. I'm going to investigate that symptom and say, you know, okay, is it my tooth? Is it my ear? What is going on here? I recently heard a saying that I think is worth remembering, and I'm going to say it twice. And here it is. Symptoms are a red flag with danger written all over it. Did you get that? Symptoms are a red flag with danger written all over it. When we have a symptom, then we say, something's wrong. You wake up and you got a stuffy nose and a fever. What do you say? Oh, something's wrong. I must be getting sick. There's some danger here. Remember the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. They exhibited the symptoms. You know, interestingly, many who have the beginning of symptoms of something can't see it in themselves. I have been to services before, and I've seen people, and they're flushed in the face, and they're kind of talking like that, you know, and like they're all stopped up and everything. And how do you feel? Well, I feel pretty good. And then the next day, you find out that person had the flu, or in 2020 or 2019, COVID or something. They had symptoms, and they couldn't recognize it in themselves. And I'm afraid spiritually a lot of people cannot recognize within themselves symptoms of danger. They were, the Ephesians, were doing some good things. That's what the Lord said to them in that letter. But he also said something else. And we pick up there in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What do you do when the symptoms are identified and somebody says, you know what? I think you might be coming down with something. You seek the remedy. Now here, as this letter was being written to the Ephesians, he said, nevertheless, I have something somewhat against thee. He also provided the remedy. He said in verse 6, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. What is that? Go back to the foundation. Go back to the beginning. Go back and start growing again. Start developing that love for God. I think that's part of the problem. That's some of the symptoms that Christians have. They have, for whatever reason, forgotten the fundamentals. I know working with a young boy, trying to teach him a sport that I myself can't play, I had to focus on the basics, the fundamentals. In teaching children a sport, you begin with the fundamentals. Christians need to stay with the fundamentals. We need to grow beyond them, but we always need to go back and review them. What are the basics? What are the main thing that we are to look at? That's what they were saying. He was telling them, go back and do the first works. Repent. Okay, stop doing what you're doing now. Stop. Yes, you're doing some good things, but you've left your first love. Where's that zeal? Where's that dedication? Where's that commitment to God that we had when we said, I do, when we were married to Christ, when we were buried in the watery grave of baptism, when we vowed before God that we would serve Him and enjoy this liberty in Christ? He warns them. He says, or else, in other words, if you don't do this, you don't repent, you don't do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Put plainly, unless you repent, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Now, that's an illness you don't recover from. Let's also understand what is involved in continuing in the Lord's work. It is to abide in it, to dwell in it, to remain free in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16a, in its proper context, teaches the one who has put on the new man, in other words, the one who has become a child of God in baptism, is to continually put that word of Christ into them and thereby remain free. That's important. Notice what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly within all wisdom. You know, somebody's going to be smart. Somebody's going to say, you know what? That passage doesn't say the word continually. No, it does not. But it is strongly applied. Implied, I mean. To make sure that all are properly instructed, let's take a quick look at James chapter 1 and verse 25. This passage will cover a number of points. First, look into. You cannot learn the word of God with the covers closed. When the book lays on the coffee table and the only attention it gets is to be moved when it's dusted once a month or once a week or every other day or however often you dust. Look into it and then continue with ETH therein. That's ongoing. The person also is a hearer. The person who is a hearer and is a doer shall be blessed. We're very familiar with the passage. But whoso, that means anybody, right? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. In other words, you've got to start. You've got to keep going. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. These blessings are in this life and for eternity. But not unless we attain that liberty. And unless we stand in it. To receive the freedom that the Lord provides, we must avoid certain mistakes. Most importantly, we are not to reject the word of the Lord. And people say, well, oh no, I never reject the word of the Lord. You know what? When we're too busy to study the Bible, we have rejected God's word. When we're too busy to do what God has told us to do relative to anything, relative to our home life, our existence among our communities and all of these things, then we have rejected the Lord. Even as you turn to John chapter 12 and verse 48, even at that time there were those that openly rejected him and the things that he said. One can stand and shout their rejection. That's one way. Or one can reject the word of the Lord simply by not doing as he commands. And yes, one rejects Christ and His Word by doing only a part of what God has directed in His Word. Notice what Jesus Himself said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at that in the last day. We also must be very careful not to follow a perverted gospel. Sadly, many people have changed the word of God, and they are distributing it to people, and they're having to say some good things, but leaving out other things. Important, and all of it is important. Stop and think about it. We have an example, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The members of the churches in Galatia had followed, yet some were beginning to fail to stand fast in the liberty that is in Christ. How? Because someone brought something in there that was not fully, completely, and totally the Word of God. Therefore, the Spirit had Paul write, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. And can you just see the people? They get this letter from Paul. You ever gotten a letter from somebody and you start reading and there's something in there so incredible you stop reading and you comment to the people that's around? You look over to your wife and say, can you believe he said this? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. What? I can't believe he's saying this. But he explains, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's a stern warning here. Remember we talked about the flags with danger written all over them? Here's what it is. Showing them. And then he warned him. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And you say, well, what do you mean? Notice who's penning this. The Apostle Paul. And those who traveled with him, when they went into the areas of Galatia and they preached the gospel, they preached the word of God as was given to them by the Spirit. It was not altered. It was not perverted. Verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you or any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Jesus provides spiritual freedom, and we must continue in his word to receive that freedom, to have that liberty, and to be able to stand in it. Secondly, the scriptures show when the Lord provides freedom. We certainly want to continue in the Lord's word to know the truth in this matter. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we find that the Lord makes us free from sin when we obey from the heart the doctrine revealed in the Bible. There are, again, many people who have false hope, who are claiming that they have liberty in Christ, yet they have not done what God said to do in his word. No other doctrine, no alteration of the doctrine of Christ brings liberty in Christ. You cannot be nourished with that which is not nourishing and expect the end result to be good. Same thing spiritually. As the Spirit had Paul write to the church in Rome, in this place he had him to point out what they were before becoming liberated and what they were now. Sometimes when we look at ourselves. Have you ever done that, looked at yourself? The before and after? We have a picture on my refrigerator that I hope you never see. No, it was me. Fully clothed and stretching the fabric. I had put on so much weight that I did not realize, and it came gradually. And then there was another picture put up there after I had paid some attention to my wife and my doctor and lost a little weight. Sometimes when you place things side by side, you say, look at the difference. I could have said the same thing about, oh, I saw a picture of me when I was 30 years old, and I saw a picture of me yesterday, and you're like, oh. But when you set them side by side, you can see the difference, and that's exactly what the scriptures do here. Paul was directed to write to them, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. When they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that had been delivered to them, ye became the servants of righteousness. Remember, the one is a servant to that which they yield themselves. We will serve that which we desire to serve. We're also informed of this in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, how this liberty is initially obtained, and there is no other way. We're told actually where it will lead, and whom or what we are not to serve. We attain this liberty when we are baptized into Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now he drives the point home, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When we have attained that liberty that Christ provides through Christ, then we are not to anymore serve sin. Only Christ provides this freedom. The scriptures show when the Lord provides this freedom. And thirdly, Christ wants us to remain free. Freedom, once gained, can indeed be lost. You know, that's exactly why the nation remembers its independence every year in July. It should also be why Christians constantly, daily, are reminded of the liberty that the child of God has in Christ. We go back to the first part of our text. We find an admonition. We find a reminder. And to stand fast is not an intermittent thing. It's not partial obedience. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything such as being partially free? I asked a person one time if he was married, and he said, kinda. I thought, huh? And he explained, and they were having difficulties. I said, no. You're either married or you're not married. And he said, well, I'm married, but we're working on it. And I said, okay. But he said here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the first part, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Instructions are given in this for this principle. You see it in the second part of the verse. It's in its immediate context. It warned of becoming servants to a dead law or returning to that dead law. And especially for those who once lived under it. Paul wrote, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The Jews were no longer under the law of Moses. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25 points this out. That law of Moses did not provide liberty in Christ. It was put in place to fulfill God's promise to Abraham and to set aside a people to bring the Christ, whereby we could be free and be free indeed. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, then we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Of course, this law is the law of Moses. Faith here is the law of Christ. And according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, that law of Moses was no longer in effect. It said a couple of ways there. But the most telling was where it was terminated. It had fulfilled its purpose. It was taken out of the way. It was taken out of the way by Christ in his death. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. What happens when you blot something out? You make it to where it cannot be read anymore, cannot be followed. Now, the words that we have in the Old Testament, they can be read, but what he meant there was that he had taken it out. It no longer had any effect. It no longer was in effect. It had fulfilled its purpose. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us because it did not provide for eternal life, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Therefore, none are to seek to be justified by the law of Moses. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 points this out. That law of Moses did not provide liberty that one has in Christ. And one cannot follow that law. And if they do, the blood of Christ has no efficacy, because the blood of Christ was not shed under that law. It was shed so that the new law could be put in place. Behold, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. They were told, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. To fall from grace, yes, it's very possible to do, is to become out of favor in the sight of God. If we, like those Ephesians in Revelation that we read about, see those warning flags, those warning signs, we are to heed and remove ourselves from the danger. Today, we also know from Galatians 5 and 13 that liberty that is provided by Christ does not allow us to serve the flesh. And I repeat myself, there are many ways in which one may reject the Lord. And I mentioned some of those earlier. But living according to the desires of the flesh is another way. These brethren and we are duly warned against this. Notice what he told them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And just to be sure that none would have the excuse to say, I didn't know that these works of the flesh are. Many of the detestable works of the flesh are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. These are things which one can do while they're in their bodies, and it erodes the stability that one can have in Christ. Now, I want you to stop, and I want you to look at each one of these. We're going to read up through it very quickly here in a minute. But look at each one of them and look at what they can do. Every single one of them, and all of them collectively, will erode the liberty that we have in Christ. Our stability will be gone, and we will stumble and fall. These are called out, and these are made known so that we can put them down. We can get these out of our lives so that we can remain stable, so that we can remain strong, so that we can remain standing fast. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings. And some people are going to say, you know what? I could check that whole list off and I don't do any of those. But wait a minute. He said, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to retain that liberty. Yes, they may have attained freedom in Christ, but you're not going to retain it if we participate in the works of the flesh. Allow me to draw our attention to Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. This is how we easily identify the faithful child of God. The fruits of the Spirit, which is the mind of the Christian, are seen in their works. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, anything of the flesh that will deter us in our serving God, will prevent us from keeping faithful to God, we are to put away, to mortify these things. And verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm afraid a lot of people don't realize exactly what that's saying. It was the Spirit which brought us the Word of God. It are these words are the words that will guide us to become obedient and also to remain obedient and to stand fast in that liberty that Christ provides. The question that needs to be asked as we consider liberty and freedom and standing fast in that liberty, first and foremost, have you received the freedom that Christ provides? That's a question I think that's fair to ask. And if a person has not obeyed the gospel, they have not. Therefore, they need to know God's commandments so they can obey. The instructions are very plain. They must hear the word, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They must believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. John 3, 16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They've not gotten there yet, because there's some more things that they need to do. They must repent of past sins. Again, the words of Jesus, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And one must confess Christ as God's Son. Again, the words of Christ, this time in Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And then one can be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That's what we have the record of Peter's sermon. He said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of eternal life. And then one must remain faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10b. To Smyrna, we read, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you have once obeyed the gospel and have become free, then another question needs to be asked. Are you standing fast in the liberty which Christ provides? And that's a question that you and you alone can answer. If you've not continued faithful in ongoing obedience to God and Christ, you've let your love falter. You've lost your freedom in Christ. And if, as a Christian, you have public sin in your life, you brought shame and reproach upon the church, it needs to be addressed publicly. You need to be restored to a proper covenant relationship with God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 tells one how to do it. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You know, there's one thing and one thing alone that provides that liberty, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. If, as an alien sinner, you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to contact that blood. If, as an erring Christian, you have sin in your life, unrepented sin, you contact that blood when you repent and pray. We're going to stand and sing the selected hymn. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 if you're subject to the invitation. Won't you come? Let us stand and sing.